Hi, I'm Jeff Eisner with the Michigan District, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we're talking with Pastor Dan Ramthan from Guardian in Dearborn and Laura Thomas, the Director of Development for the Michigan District. And we are quickly approaching Church Worker Appreciation Month, and let's get a little background for where did this idea come from and why do we need to celebrate it?
Well, and I'll start. I've been on our commission for church worker care for 30 years now, going back to the late sainted Reverend David Schrader, and just the importance of our church workers trying to stay healthy. It's challenging. District, I think we have, over 3,100 church workers in all kinds of different roles, and ministry is challenging. The devil's at work. Our culture's changed. I remember President Meyer always said we have targets on our back, and there's no doubt about it. So ministry's hard, but so important. And so what a neat thing to try to lift up, encourage our workers, recognize them, get our churches, members to see how valuable those workers are in growing God's kingdom.
And how about to you, Laura? Why do we need to celebrate?
Well, I think I can speak from a person in the pew. Before I got into church work, I as the director of development here in some other institutions, I knew what my pastor did. I knew what the various people in the various roles did, but I don't think I really understood fully how it church work affected their life and how much they gave and how much personal time they gave up. And I think I realized over time that this is something that we really need to put a lot more emphasis on. So in my role as director of development, we certainly can do that by raising the funds that we need to recognize them properly. But I also think it's engaging people in that process. And so that's what we're trying to do as we look forward to this October month of celebration of our church workers.
So when we talk about a church worker, how do we define that?
Many of our churches, they may have a school, they may not, maybe only an early childhood center. Many churches do not have schools, but all our churches have staff involved in ministries. And whether as a pastor or teacher or early childhood, DCEs, deaconesses, music directors, family life, there's so many different ways that our church workers are involved in the ministries of the church. And so, they're coming from all different perspectives and different challenges in their different roles. But growing God's kingdom, sharing the gospel, all our church workers, whether part-time, full-time, rostered or contracted or called, they're just all so important and vital to the ministry of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and when we think about the roles that they have, it might be, here's a pastor, here's a teacher, but it's a little bit more encompassing, all-encompassing than just that, right?
Right. Oh, so very much. And that's our commission for all these years. It's the challenge of sometimes we kind of, we forget all the different roles. Yeah, pastors, teachers, and a big chunk of our church workers in those roles. But boy, some of those other support roles in our offices, administrators, our human resources, business managers, they all play a key role also in the church ministry and supporting our church workers. We try not to, sometimes we just tend to highlight maybe those in the front, that are in the view of our members, but boy, behind the scenes, there's just a lot of others that are very crucial too.
Yeah. So when we talk about challenges and joys from church work, Laura, I want to begin with you. What are some of those challenges and joys that you face in your job? And Dan, obviously, you can shed some light on this as well.
Oh, well, for me, the particular joy is helping people to understand that God has given them resources that He has a plan for, and He wants to work through that individual to accomplish that plan. I think oftentimes we think of resources in our lives as something that is disconnected from that process, because that's what the world wants us to think, is that we own those things. But I point them to the fact that the ownership has never been theirs. They are just the managers of something that has been given to them. And I think you can say that for talents, abilities, knowledge, skills, you can say that about all of those things. And so I think it's important for us to recognize that as a joy. The challenges, boy, there's such a spectrum there. I don't think that I could even begin to count all of the challenges that people might face on a daily basis. But, you know, it's like Dan said, there's a target on your back when you put the Lord first in your life, and that's what your life revolves around, whether it's your vocation or it's just part of what you use as you go to a job, like an accountant or a firefighter, whatever you might be, you have a target on your back. And so that becomes, I think, a really big challenge to a church worker who is very public about what they do for a living. So I'm sure that there's, with this question, there will be many people that will have many answers to that.
Dan, and I'm sure you have some answer to that too, right?
No, there's a lot you can go into. And I think a lot of it is, again, you look at our context and culture, today's world. I think starting teaching back 41 years ago and the challenges then versus now and the changes and our poor families that they're dealing with, that some of the context of the world and how we're trying to help them. So, yeah, the challenges. And like every staff, I think we, you know, here and we had our all staff meeting last Thursday, and we got 36 of us full time, part time. And just to be reminded of the, yeah, you deal with students, you deal with parents, you deal with different members. And then we as a staff, we all have different personalities and quirks and talents and gifts and patience with one another. We're all on the same team, all on the same team, trying to do the same thing and share Jesus and grow God's kingdom. And yet when you're dealing with all different people, it gets challenging, and the devil's going to be at work. We know that. But boy, the joys, it's always last year we used, Daryl Zimmerman's book, Reclaiming the Joy of a Church Vocation. Last year for our monthly staff Bible study, reading through that book to be constantly reminded that joy we have, that we're equipped and God is with us. And it's so important. I tell our members here, I don't know a bigger important ministry than these children and their families, to try to give them perspective and point them to God's word and just keep them focused on Christ.
What can we do to recognize church workers, to help support them?
Well, let me start, and then Laura, I know we'll highlight maybe more what our district's trying to do about, October. Our commission and trying to, you know, we do things, try to, in a yearly basis, conferences, and have counselors available for our church workers on the website. You go to churches and church worker care, podcast resources. Christy Hansard, she's our mental health case manager that started a few years back. Our church workers have a lot of different resources that we in our district and our commission tries to provide for them. And some of it, you know, we as workers, I can always make improvements somewhere along the way, you know, physical health, spiritual health, emotional. We have to try to keep our perspectives, priorities going too. But our district wants to help. But then we also want our congregations, and that's why highlighting in October, congregations caring for your called, you can do that and just encourage them, not just on a one shot on a monthly, you know, to highlight, but on a regular basis. We have some that have worker support teams in congregations that informally cards, prayers, notes of encouragement, recognizing that is so valuable for our staffs to know that there are members out there that, you know, have them in prayer. And so that's just a great ongoing thing, as well as, you know, a month to really highlight what they do and how to support them.
Yeah. Thoughts, Laura?
Yeah, Dan, that is a great list. I don't know that I have much to add to the things that you said, but I do think that it's important that when you are in the presence of church workers, that you remember them as church workers and treat them well, love them, and share those words of encouragement. You know, you might be a shy person and you might feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to say something, and you might say, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't bother them. No, that prompting is there so that you can encourage that church worker and lift them up so that they can, maybe they need it on that particular day. And I think it's really important that we listen to the Holy Spirit and really do that work, because we're part of the body. And as part of the body, we need to take care of one another, and we all have our unique gifts, but we certainly all need to encourage each other and build each other up. So I, for one, I know we talk about the five love languages, and I, for one, am very partial to those words of encouragement. But I think it's also important to pay attention to where people's love languages are and fill them up. There's no better way to support your church worker than to know exactly what they need and to really pay attention to those needs and to fill them up when you have that opportunity.
Okay, so now the maybe million-dollar question for our district and our synod: how do we raise up and encourage young people to get into church work?
No, that's a great question, and I think that's kind of been coming around the last couple of years more, and trying to be more intentional with some of our kids and students that we know and tap them on the shoulder, and you know they hope they see. They hope they see in our example. If our church workers aren't healthy, it's hard for meaningful ministry to take place. And if we as workers stay healthy and show that joy in ministry, even through the challenges, that's a great witness and example. And I got to say, our district, being in the district for 41 years here, we've always had district presidents and district staff that makes that a priority and is very supportive. And that doesn't happen in all of our districts, sadly, as we get involved with some of our synod things and what we do. And our synod has some great Concordia plans and Grace Place and the website. Our synod does have some great things. But boy, our district has been great to support our current church workers, which then, again, hopefully will keep them healthy, keep that joy in ministry, and then let them be just a good witness example and keep intentionally try to sow the seed, plant the seed in some of those students around us.
Mm-hmm. Laura, do you have some ideas on this?
I do. In the most recent appeal that we did, I asked the four featured church workers about what had an impact on them to lead them into church work. And it was really interesting to hear some of their responses. You know, a lot of them referenced the youth group that they were in at their particular church. But some of them have attended a Lutheran university. Some of them were mentored by pastors. They all had a different journey. They all had a different life story about what led them into their particular role that they're serving in. And I thought it was interesting. But then they also had encouragement. I asked them, what would you say to an aspiring church worker? And hands down, they all said, be in the Word. And then some of them suggested that you would seek out some current church workers and shadow them, ask them questions, just observe them and understand what their role is and what they do, but maybe what we discussed earlier, what some of their challenges and their joys are, and do your research. So it was very interesting to hear from a perspective of a church worker how they were encouraged.
That's great. Great advice. So October is Church Worker Appreciation Month. We've got a campaign going on in the Michigan District. Why don't you tell us a little bit what it entails, what it involves?
We do. What we wanted to do was to just dig into the lives of some various church workers across the district and find out what influenced them, find out what they do, find out what advice they have, and let them speak about what church work means to them and what their journey was. And they all, again, had very different stories, and it was really exciting to hear from them. And we hope that we can expand on that and share that in the blogs and on the website and give a little bit more of their story. But in cooperation with that, we sent out an appeal that also has what we call heart notes. We wanted to give everybody in the district an opportunity to fill out one of those heart notes, which is a personal message to every church worker, and we'll share that on social media. And then we'll take those written heart notes and we'll distribute them at different events in the district so that they can actually see these written notes and share them on their bulletin boards or, you know, on their desks, wherever they might be able to tangibly pick them up and see them and know that they are loved. What we want at the end of October is for every single church worker, every one of these 3,100 church workers that we have in the district right now, to know that they are loved and cared for by every single person in this district. So if we achieve that, we will have reached our goal.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, make sure to check the show notes. We've got more information and details on this topic. Pastor Dan and Laura, thank you so much for your time and your insight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We also thank you, the listener, for making this podcast part of your day. God bless.